Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Transportation System. We're on our way to Disney's Hollywood Studios. For your safety and the safety of others, please remain seated while the motor coach is in motion. If you're standing, we encourage you to use the handrails above or to the side and remain clear of the doors and stairwells. We also ask that you refrain from eating, drinking, and smoking while on board the motor coach. And now, we invite you to relax and enjoy the ride. Thank you.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Sam from Sam's Disney Diary. I am once again here, standing at the crossroads of the world with Johnny Hollywood. John Kappas, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's the most wonderful time of the year, not because of the holidays, but Star Wars is among us in Hollywood Studios.
You know, the last time you said it's the most wonderful time of year was our Star Wars Weekends episode that we did back in, it's 6, 7, 8 months ago now.
And unfortunately, it'll be the last one because Star Wars Weekends is no longer.
You are correct. So it is December 2015. We're standing at the crossroads. You'll be able to hear the Christmas background music as we walk down Hollywood Boulevard here.
Right.
So you've been away for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So when you're a local, you vacation north, which is kind of crazy because when you live north, you vacation to here. So there's a lot of new things that open here the first week of December in Hollywood Studios.
And it's basically all Star Wars, which I'm so excited about.
Not all. Club Disney is in Star Wars.
Which is true.
There's a couple of things there. So there's a lot that's changed here, but that's actually Illuminations that you hear in the background,
yeah.
Which I found a great spot to watch from, and that's leaving Hollywood Studios down the lake. It's a beautiful view of Illuminations,
nice.
But that's another story for another day. So for now, what I wanted to do is create another time capsule for December 2015 here at Hollywood Studios. What's happening? What's new? Because let's be honest, there's a lot changing. You said we know now Star Wars Weekend's not coming back. We know Star Wars Land's coming. We know Toy Story Land's coming. We know that the Osborne Lights, this is the last year. So a lot of things have changed. So what we're going to do is go grab a Times Guide and head down Hollywood Boulevard.
Let's go.
Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at that. He's prepared. Love that. Is this the one I gave you this morning, by the way? So first, on the right, at Oscar's Garage here, did you notice the Chewbacca Steins and the Millennium Falcon Stein?
Yes, and I got my BB-8 cup there as well.
Right, so the first thing you notice when you look at the Times Guide, the front of it has new Star Tours, The Adventures Continues, which we'll talk about that when we get back there. When you open it up, it looks a lot like the Star Wars Weekends Time Guide.
Identical.
Because you have merchandise at lots of locations, a BB-8 sippy cup, Tatooine Traders has lots of merchandise, Star Wars Launch Bay Cargo. That's the Christmas tag. Holy cow, you can see it from inside Hollywood Studios. That was the Christmas tag for Illuminations, which, by the way, you'll hear that on a future show because we have that audio. But that's kind of cool. All right, let's head down Hollywood Boulevard. Just listen for a minute. So, John, the last two times we did this, we talked about background music. For Star Wars Weekends, you knew it was Star Wars Weekends. For Frozen Summer, it was kind of subtle.
Yes, very.
I'm going to say this, the volume's up a little bit more.
Yeah. I think the studios did a very good job not forcing Frozen down your throat during the Frozen Summer.
Yes. Now, as we're walking down, we're at the crossroads with Sunset Boulevard, but we have to talk about the new stage in front of the Chinese Theater because it looks awesome.
Yes.
And we're looking at it at night. It's lit up brilliantly, but what I really like about the stage is it extends the theater. It doesn't impose on the theater.
Exactly. So if you're getting your picture with your photo pass photographer down the street, I think it's a nice touch, and it doesn't take from the theater.
It doesn't. From where we're standing, you can't see the stage on the ends, the lighting apparatuses that have been built, right? Because they're up there, but you can't see them from Hollywood Boulevard. No. I think that's awesome.
I think they did a great job from last year when it was sky high and you couldn't see the theater.
Well, it's been like that ever since the Star Wars weekends and Frozen stage was in front of the hat. Exactly. But now the hat's gone. You gave them some time. They have a stage that looks absolutely awesome, and I love it.
That's great.
So we're going to double time down Sunset Boulevard here because there's one thing I want to see down here, and that is the brand new Club Disney, which is also in the Times Guide here.
From park opening to park close.
Which is pretty cool, but only on select dates what I'm seeing here. No, I take that back, daily. So last week's map, it only had two dates because that's when it opened.
Yeah.
So that was only there. It is daily. This is join Mickey and the gang in an electric club environment with a DJ club. It's kind of cool.
And I talked to Sam off the air about this, and I think he agrees. It has a very much Disneyland animation room filled with all the LCD screens above.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I want to get a feel for it, so we're going to walk down there. I'm going to make John walk all the way down Sunset and then back, because ultimately we're going to get to a bunch of things that are new.
Well, last time we talked, if you're coming here for Star Wars weekends, you never come down this road.
That's exactly right. We did talk about that, because Tower of Terror and the Rock and Roller Coaster are pretty much the way that they're going to be.
And connecting Star Wars again to this, this is where the old Darth Maul store was
Absolutely.
3 years ago.
So we're talking behind the Rock and Roller Coaster. I see some construction here at the Sunset Ranch. Any idea what's going on there?
They're redoing the seating areas.
And that's what's behind walls. So the restaurant is still open. The counter service is open. The ice cream stand's open. New seating area. That's good.
For more lighting compared to, you can see the old ones without any light compared to how many lights there are.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. There's new lighting down here. We're headed past the Beauty and the Beast stage right now. The Theater of the Stars. Which, when you think, you know, no more Star Wars weekends, we'll talk about this soon. We know Seasons of the Force is coming. But, you know, I'm going to miss some of those things with James Arnold Taylor, and we've documented that well, and there's lots of Sam's Disney Diaries about that. But.
Well, hopefully on the weekends with Seasons of the Force, which now doesn't have an end date.
Which is very interesting. I do know it's going to end when Frozen Summer starts, but that's another story.
And I'm sure Ed is thrilled.
Well, you know, so we've talked on the show before, John, and I know that there's a lot of Star Wars here in the parks.
Oh.
Especially here in early December with the release of the new movie coming in just a few weeks.
And I'm not saying this because Sam's right next to me, but Sam was right on the money with the merchandise.
It's
double what Frozen was.
It's
parks.
Everywhere. But I will also say that Disney is very smart, and if it doesn't sell, it won't be in the stores
exactly.
anymore. So we're going to be quiet now and listen to the transition into the Rock and Roller Coaster courtyard. Standby for Rock and Roller Coaster, currently 60 minutes. Thank you. Okay, I am now, if you've listened to the show, you know we did a restrooms segment recently. I found the best, Jimmy at Jen. The brand new ones at the Sunset Showcase, because nobody knows they're here. So I'm walking into Club Mickey. I'm sorry, it's Club Disney. Club Disney is in the new building next to the Rock and Roller Coaster between it and the Tower of Terror. There is a counter service location inside here. I'm looking at the menu, and we have mini corn dog bites, a Club Mickey sandwich with chips, Mickey pretzels, Goofy and Minnie cupcakes, mini brownies. I'm going to go ahead and walk inside. I know it's going to get loud. This is a dance club, but it's a dance club targeted to kids. So I'm looking in the door, and I see Mickey Mouse and Pluto and Minnie and Goofy all dancing. There are lots of seats in here. I'm sure this will be cool in the summer. There's also lots of charging locations, which are set up as Club Disney chargers. Let me go ahead and walk in here for a second. And yeah, Mickey, Minnie, Goofy, Pluto. And not a lot of people. Another thing I see are some very big screens that are interactive. Call them coloring boards, call them whatever you'd like. Essentially, it's an app with a paintbrush where kids can sit and color anything they want. This place is also covered in four walls by video screens that are just absolutely huge. So looking at those screens right now, there's a silhouette of Chip and Dale dancing. You'll also get movie clips. So there's a live DJ, he's here all day. Now I move to the side here, and literally there are two couches with nobody sitting, Club Disney charging stations, and every charging tip you could imagine. In fact, I'm counting. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on each table. There's two tables, so that's 12 places where you could plug things in, and not just one, that's 12 sections with a charger for just about everything. Looks like the classic iPhone, a micro USB, current iPhone, they're all there.
We cut to some audio that I took a little earlier. The club itself. Talk about the club itself.
I think it's great. I mean, you have all your Fab Five and Chip and Dale as well.
So what I saw was they introduced four characters at a time. It was a dance party with lots of kids when I was in there. There is a refreshment stand in there. No alcohol, which was okay, but there were lots of, you know, Mickey pretzels, those sort of things that you would expect.
They even had sandwiches, which was surprising.
There was a sandwich, which was very cool. There's many charging stations.
Yes.
Places where mom and dad can sit and let the kids run around with Mickey, Minnie, Pluto, and Goofy. And when those guys aren't out, it was Daisy, Donald, Chip, and Dale.
Exactly.
Did you see any other characters while you were in there?
That was the ones I saw. And Disney does a good job of using the TV screens in the building to show Disney clips of movies while the characters go off stage.
Which was really cool. Yeah, so because when the characters were out, they just had sort of silhouettes of the characters dancing. Mm-hmm. But when the characters were between, right, because there's a couple songs off and then the new characters come out, mm-hmm. It was really neat to look up and see all the movie clips. And there were, I want to say I saw pretty much every Disney movie represented.
I would agree with that.
I mean, I saw Chicken Little clips, I saw Home on the Range clips, and of course, Frozen, Robin Hood, you name it. Aladdin, the genie was up there quite a bit. It's Winnie the Pooh was dancing up on the screen for a little while, which was really cool.
And the building looks great outside and inside.
Hollywood Boulevard looks great with the Christmas decorations, the sound. And, you know, through the day, you don't notice this background music. But it's there. Now, I will say, if you go into Epcot, and you'll hear this on a later show, it sounds the same.
Very true.
If I walked into World Showcase versus Hollywood Boulevard, the only reason you would know where I was is because of the noise from the Fountains of Nation.
Yep.
That'd be the only reason. Sounds the same.
It's amazing how Main Street in the Magic Kingdom has that.
It's got its own little, it's got a little twist to it at the Magic Kingdom, which is your ragtime turn of the century, and you recognize it as Main Street, but it's Christmas Main Street. And Animal Kingdom, I didn't notice anything. It was pretty much Animal Kingdom.
I do like
the which tree, is okay. Yeah. The tree's awesome at Animal Kingdom. All right, we are going to make a right here just before we get Sunset Boulevard and sneak through the Brown Derby to head to what used to be the Animation Courtyard. Some interesting things there.
Yeah, very interesting things.
So let's get around the corner real quick. We're walking around during extra magic hours. And not a lot of people here.
No.
I wonder what the queue is right now for Toy Story. We never talked about those Easter eggs yet, did we?
No, we did not. And Sam's the master of those.
I taught you what you know. All right, so the Animation Courtyard is now Star Wars Launch Bay.
Which 90% of the Disney community is happy about.
90%, the other 10's not. So here's what I look at, and it's kind of interesting because you and I walked through and recorded Mushu on his, it was the last week of the animation building, and now we're here in the first week of Launch Bay.
That's very true. And you got the all access clear to film the whole show, which was cool.
I did, which was really good. I'm so glad I did, because that's something that the theater's gone now. It's now the Launch Bay theater.
The first thing I noticed, even walking underneath the Hollywood Studio sign, walking into the animation building, is the sign of Star Wars Launch Bay and how big and how great it looks at night.
It does. It's lit up nicely. In fact, walking into Animation Courtyard, we just passed the popcorn stand, which has been there for a long time, which has the TIE fighter buckets and the BB-8 sippy cups and Darth Vader stuff. Oh, that stuff is awesome. So we're in the Animation Courtyard. Here's an interesting note. During the day when it's busy, the strollers are actually parked outside because you have stormtroopers walking back and forth through here.
And I actually saw them tonight, which looks very, very awesome at night.
That's cool. I've not seen them at night. Now, I should also note that Disney Junior is still here. That attraction's still there. And in fact, Handy Manny, Sophia the First are still out in characters. So is Jake, correct?
Right, correct. And Minnie Mouse's new location's there as well.
Ah, Minnie's here too. Okay. Because Mickey's moved as well. Mickey's back in
the old Pirates.
Where the old Jack Sparrow attraction was. So, all right, we're walking under Star Wars Launch Bay. So, a couple of things we'll point out here. Number one, there is indeed.
If you guys are already here, just need to know what you
think. Riverside.
Thank you. I heard the ginger.
It's extra magic hours, so they made sure they knew where we were staying. So here, you got to. We're walking into the animation building. The artwork is cool everywhere. And you know what I noticed about the artwork in the queue? It's not just Force Awakens. There are things from the original Star Wars. There's a Revenge of the Jedi poster, which we know they didn't use. There's Star Wars Rebels. There's the Clone Wars. There's everything you can imagine in that queue area, which is really cool. Now tonight, here in the first week, John and I are in the bypass line for the Launch Bay Theater. The Launch Bay Theater is the old animation theater. And in fact, there's a nice map here that shows the whole thing when it shuts. John is being complimented on his BB-8 shirt, which got him a free Rice Krispie treat earlier. So Launch Bay Theater, the Celebration Gallery, meet Chewie, meet Darth Vader. Ray Speeder's here, Encounter Darth Vader, the Cantina, Star Wars Game Center, Preview Gallery, Launch Bay Cargo. Let's go ahead in.
Let's just go to the ride. Right?
So number one, in the theater.
So you know, it's a short film, and then
everybody having a good day so far.
Your celebration of all things Star Wars. Welcome everyone, thank you.
So the theater itself, which is the queue line, is about the making of, and this to me, John, I loved it, because it harkens back to the original Hollywood studios. This is how they made the original movies. There's clips of George Lucas and R2 and 3PO, and they talk about how they created these worlds back in the 70s, which is absolutely incredible. And then it talks about The Force Awakens, but it also talks about Rogue One. It talks about the cartoons, the Clone Wars and Rebels, and it ties it all together and harkens back to what studios was all about.
Yep.
So let's listen to that for the next 10 minutes. What do you think?
Sounds good.
It was so jaw-dropping when I first saw Star Wars. It had such an impact on me when I was studying film, and it really played a part in driving me into the film industry.
I was 11 years old and seeing the film for the first time. It was such a profound thing, not just because the movie itself was so entertaining, but because it said anything is possible.
I remember seeing it, I just felt like I know what I'm doing for the rest of my life. I am sitting here watching this tape over and over until I die.
I remember my dad putting me in the car to take me to see it, and I said, where are we going? He said, we're going to see the most amazing thing you've ever seen.
Star Wars is a revolution. You can't compare Star Wars to anything that came before it.
It was breaking new ground in ways that no one had ever really seen before.
I grew up in the late 70s, early 80s, and it was everywhere.
The word epic gets thrown around a lot now, but it really was just so huge.
As a kid, I really just loved that universe. And as I got older, I think I appreciated the filmmaking part of it more.
When you look at Star Wars, it is unbelievable how much they got right. Like, not just the story, and not just the characters, not just the casting, not just the design, not just the music, but all of it. When you look at all of it, and you think that didn't exist prior.
It is this strange combination of huge, massive world creation spectacle and really intimate psychological character stories.
What George hit upon was this kind of fun, exciting, adventure, self-empowerment kind of storytelling.
You may get sucked into it for some of the more fun aspects of it, and then as you grow up, the films grow up with you because you become older and more sophisticated and are able to peel back some of those mythic layers and appreciate those as well.
All of the people that worked on the designs for these films tapped into something perfect artistically. So just the shape of the Millennium Falcon, the shape, the idea of lightsabers.
And I remember seeing the graphic quality of the Death Star, the TIE fighters with those twin wings, the X-wings. I mean, those were all just, you know, such iconic shapes. They were like logos, essentially.
And it feels old, some of it, worn out helmets. And you go, wow, whatever is in this universe has been going on for a very long time.
It had the random scuff marks and the scorching and the sort of junk in the corners and all the sort of little things that build up in everyday life that generally didn't appear in science fiction up to that point.
We'd never seen anything like it before, the visual effects in the movie. We didn't call it that. I mean, it looked real. It felt real.
There has been an awakening. Have you felt it?
To me, what was so exciting about The Force Awakens was that feeling of this brand new adventure, this brand new story that would be a bridge between what we know and who we know and everything that comes next.
Certainly for all young kids, they either wanted to be Luke Skywalker or they saw themselves as Han Solo. And I think that was a part of our challenge, was how are we going to bring new characters into this series that had that same kind of power.
While there was never a doubt that the visual opportunities were enormous, the worlds we would travel to, the creatures we would meet, the weapons and ships and landscapes that we would see would be stunning and exciting. None of that matters if you don't love the people in the ships. So at the core of this story had to be the thing that makes any story work, which is the characters.
It doesn't end there, though. This is just the first step on a long path to Star Wars into the future.
the Star Wars stories as individual standalone films give us the opportunity to explore some new territory. Some of them will be grounded in things that are familiar. Rogue One is about an event that's referenced in the crawl of Episode 4, the theft of the Death Star plans. What I love is that we are able to diversify Star Wars storytelling, explore some different genres, and yet stay inside the sort of larger galaxy of Star Wars that we all recognize.
There's so much story that we're telling across multiple movies, across different television shows, across all kinds of different media.
We're tasked with developing those stories and making sure they're cohesive, that they connect.
One of the things we always ask ourselves in the story group is, what's the best format for a story to be told? Is it a movie? Is it something in the animated space? Or is it a book or a comic?
Working on story and helping to guide those filmmakers and looking for ways in which we can push technology. That's what keeps it exciting and new and relevant. And what better way to do that than inside the Star Wars universe?
It is like some sort of, I was going to say, it's kind of like a renaissance here, but it's not even that because we were never even doing this before. This is turning out a movie a year.
Everything from Rogue One and the other movies and shows like Rebels have the opportunity to do things that are both visually and tonally a little different to what you might consider classic Star Wars.
Everyone, hang on!
What Dave Filoni and the Rebels crew have done to create that show. I think we've created some really wonderful characters and kind of establishing what the Rebellion was like in its early stages. I think that's been really, really exciting.
I think there are a lot of kids who grew up on the prequels and on Clone Wars who are really excited about Rebels because in a way it picks up the story that they know. But their parents are excited about it because it also starts in a place that they recognize as being relevant to Episode 4.
I think to this day, Star Wars still represents this amazing universe. A place that only exists in the movies or in your imagination, but soon we're going to be building it in a physical way, a tangible way in our theme parks.
You're going to be able to walk inside these environments. You'll be on a planet. You'll be hurtling through space. It will be very, very immersive. It's nice to be involved in something where everybody cares so much. It's not just that they care about it because they're a fan, but they care about it because it had something to do with their life. I think it's great, frankly, when you get a group of people in the room and they're that energized to do great work.
We've found a lot of really wonderful, talented writers and filmmakers who are excited to work on Star Wars, who grew up with Star Wars, who love it.
The very first kind of movies that I and a lot of people in my generation were making in our heads as kids was in that world of Star Wars.
I don't think I'm lying when I say Star Wars means the world to me. I just really wish someone had told me when I was 4 that I was going to get to make a Star Wars film, because I would have spent the last 36 years planning it.
It doesn't matter what age you are or where you grew up, there's something about Star Wars that you can connect with. It's more than entertainment. It's a very, very unique cultural force, and it's just as relevant now as it ever has been.
You go out in the world and you see a little kid engaging with Star Wars, and you understand it's their parents that have brought them into this world. It's this great generational thing. And if I'm able to help give a father or mother that gift that they pass along to their children, I think, you know, that's incredible.
I don't know what it must be like to be a kid growing up with this much awesome. I don't know how it would have affected me. I probably would have been making films by the time I was 6. We're gonna need those kids in the future to keep this thing going because there's a lot to do.
I think with Star Wars, what people are looking forward to is sharing it with their friends, with their family, with their kids. And there's so many things on the horizon that I think we're going to have an amazing array of entertainment to thrill audiences for decades to come.
All right, so what did you think of the movie?
I thought it was great. I really liked how they covered everything.
Thank you.
To and even touch on theme parks.
Yes, they do. They talk about theme parks. They talk about how it all ties back together. They mention Star Wars Land. They show some clips from D23 Expo. I was looking for myself in that stuff.
And the most impressive part, I thought, was Kathleen Kennedy, who's the leader of Lucasfilms, about the Star Wars Land. It's going to be really, really immersive.
I can't wait to see it. Yeah. And, you know, that said, we're standing in the middle of the Star Wars Celebration area, which we're seeing props of Slave One and some original costumes from the original series. It's really cool, but in the reality, this is temporary till Star Wars Land gets here. Right?
Right.
But that said, let's check it out. So walking through Launch Bay, on our left here, where the animators used to be. First time I was here, there were real animators here drawing Lilo and Stitch, but that's another story. There's now a pod racer from Episode 1, and a speeder bike as well. These are real props, which is kind of cool. Now inside here as well, there's also two meet and greets.
Yes.
What are the meet and greets?
Chewie and Darth Vader.
So you can visit the... What is it here?
Chewie.
We're walking down. Yeah, Chewbacca. No, it's 10 minutes right now. It's the Wookiee base, or you can visit the bridge, and up on the bridge you're going to find Vader. Vader right now still has 50 minutes.
Which I thought was interesting is two things. We're looking at two wait time signs. One's on and one's off.
Very, very interesting. I need to take a picture of that for the show notes.
Which one is waiting for FastPass Plus to activate? Which is the first attraction dash meet and greet that has a wait time for the FastPass?
You're right. Because I'm thinking it's not the first meet and greet to have a fast pass, because they do that at Animal Kingdom, they do that at Studios, but this one, literally, there is a wait time for Darth Vader that says 50 minutes, and there's one next to him that is turned off. That's the fast pass, which is why there's fast passes outside of Launch Bay that are not yet being used.
And in Star Wars language, it says fast pass.
We have Jawas and Greedo coming out right now. Wow, walk around characters. Very good. The Jawas now, so we're walking into the cantina and there's both Jawas and Greedo, which is really cool. You recognize some of the music here. John, you going for a picture while we're here?
Sure.
He wants to trade you for BB-8. Lots of BB-8s.
Yes,
he wants the shirt.
He's like, I have nothing.
The Jawas are bartering. I don't. I had some pins. We got nothing. The Jawas got nothing. What are you going to pay? No, that's not going to work. Let me use your... Yeah, I'll use that. Very good. Love that picture. That's the best. How about my turn?
Sure.
Look, it's on tape. No. All right. That is one of... And Greedo hanging out at the bar here. I got to say that it was one of the first live photo opportunities that we had. So we need to keep moving only because we don't have a lot of time here. So they're also in here in the cantina. There's lots of...
Disney
Infinity, the ability to play that, to check it out. This is really cool because we're here late and there's nobody in here, but there's so much more we got to do here.
So one thing I want to bring up that you brought to me off air is that for Visa credit card members, there is a meet and greet. But
there's a Chase meet and greet. You need to ask for it because it's sort of hidden, and unless you ask, you're not going to find it. You're just going to get in line for the regular Vader meet and greet. But there's a second meet and greet here, which is for Chase Visa card holders. And you do get a free download for that, by the way, which is really cool. So more props here as we exit. In fact, I'm looking at the Millennium Falcon model, which is basically where the Academy Awards used to be. Right? There are some new props in here. There's a flame thrower trooper here in the corner. There's also some additional ships that I haven't seen before from the new movie. Sort of spoilers. But you also have some Resistance X-Wings, a Jakku's land speeder, which looks pretty cool, Han Solo blaster pistol, lots of cool stuff from the new movie. let's head through the exit here. Now, as we're headed to the exit, the gift shop, dude, this reminds me of Star Wars Weekends.
Yeah.
It is Star Wars Weekends. The artwork everywhere, everything you would expect to get there. Now, pretty cool here is D-Tech.
Yeah.
D-Tech on demand, which is, you know, make your own custom phone cases or magic bands, the personalized magic bands. Custom magic bands are $22. The personalized are $30. This is printed with your name on it, with any Star Wars character that you like. Lots of kiosks here to do that. I'm seeing, look at that, man. Lamps that are lightsabers, umbrellas that are lightsabers. There's some cool stuff in here. But a lot of it is, you know, there's some full-size replicas. What's the Boba Fett over here? The life-size Boba Fett is $3,050. I like how they get that extra $50. The life-size First Order Stormtrooper is $9,000. That's nice. The $50 is the gun. Yes. Got it. That's perfect. I got to tell you, John, we're looking at a Luke and a Han and a case here. There was some merchandise in that case that was awesome when this first opened.
Exactly. And that was at Star Wars Weekends over at...
I like your
shirt. Thank you.
You know, you aren't just getting complimented everywhere. Where'd you get the shirt? Give it up. JCPenney. Yeah. Shh. Don't tell anybody. Now everybody's going to run and get your BB-8 shirt. All right. Let's double time it back out of here. Troopers are out. Sounds like they're talking a little bit, too.
And that's what we saw at Star Wars Weekends again, was a test with two regular stormtroopers.
You're right. Now these are two First Order troopers standing in front of Launch Bay. Posing for pictures. Now, there is no official time or official cue for these guys. They're just kind of here.
And it depends on the crowd if they take pictures or not.
I did notice that. I noticed that earlier today. It was very busy here, and they weren't... You can hear them in the background a little bit there. All right. So, Launch Bay, what do you think overall?
I like it. Enjoy the animation courtyard, and I enjoy Star Wars. It's a walk-through museum. And I think the studios at this time and age need something where people can go in and wander for a bit and then do the next.
And that's really what it is. We're headed by Little Mermaid, which is still here, and people are headed in. The other thing I noticed, Launch Bay, because a lot of people were, when it first opened, there's a wait time on the left, and that wait time is for the movie, which you guys heard earlier on the show. If you go on the right side, you can kind of scoot by that. But there's some fast pass machines outside that aren't yet activated. So what's the story there?
The story is once those gets activated with the fast pass for Darth Vader and Chewbacca, you will need a fast pass to skip the line of the movie. So if you just want to go to the Launch Bay, you will have to wait in the movie line, watch the movie to enter the Launch Bay.
So the standby line for the movie.
Correct.
Really it. So what you're going to end up with is the fast pass machines that are outside that are not activated will eventually be activated. If you go to MyDisneyExperience.com right now and look for Launch Bay, it's listed, but you cannot yet reserve a fast pass for it.
And it's great right now because there's no fast pass, so the line for Vader and Chewbacca move smoothly.
And that could change as early as next week, as far as we know, right? But when the movie premieres, that could change. So look for that fast pass for Launch Bay. So what I don't know is if that'll be a Tier A or Tier B, right? Will that be on the same equivalent as Toy Story Mania, or will it be with everything else?
And my point is those signs we saw that had 60-minute wait for Darth Vader are all digital.
So absolutely, yes.
So characters going to leave after the movie releases, then it's going to be new mood.
We might see some additional characters. In fact, in the concept art, I saw some characters that were not Darth Vader or Chewbacca.
Yeah.
You know what else was in the concept art that I didn't see in there? There was no R2-D2 in there.
Yeah.
There was absolutely an R2-D2 in the concept art.
Well, in the concept art in the media preview, early statement, it was going to have food, and there's no food.
There is no food inside Launch Bay. You're absolutely right. The food is in carts outside in the courtyard. All right, so we're now in front of Toy Story Mania. Standby's 25 minutes. That's not bad.
Oh.
People would love that. 25 minutes for Toy Story Mania? Let's get in line. No, we got more things to cover here. But one thing we just walked past, let's cover that first. Actually, two things. One is One Man String. Still there?
Still there.
Still exactly how it used to be, minus Walt's desk, which we talked about in the previous show. One exception is the ending movie is now a preview for The Good Dinosaur.
Right.
Which is in theaters now.
Which brings us to the point of when it ends, does the regular movie come back? It came back on the 5th for Walt's birthday.
For Walt's birthday, which was yesterday, by the way. That was cool to be here on Walt's birthday.
Yeah.
I got a button. A button. Happy birthday, Walt. That's always cool.
Oh, it's not that bad.
So who knows what will happen there. It was a preview movie. It was very similar to the movie that would have been... it was very similar to the movie that would have been inside the old animation courtyard, right?
Exactly.
Another thing we passed up when we mentioned it earlier, the Sorcerer Mickey character experience has moved into the old Legend of Jack Sparrow location. And now you can start to hear the Osborne lights in the distance here. We're passing the old entrance for the Backlot Tour, which is now like Santa Goofy.
Ago. Yeah, doesn't that feel like years ago?
It does, John. It does. It's Santa Goofy back there now with not much of a line, which is very nice.
I think good for Disney to keep the lights on for extra magic hours, which is my tip.
Absolutely.
If you're a local or if you're down here before the parks close, come here an extra magic hour.
Extra magic, man. We are looking at nobody. Although here on the left in Studio Catering Company, I did the Merry and Bright party a few nights ago with the family. That was awesome. It was a dessert party, which typically is in the circle where the tram cars used to turn around. But it was raining, so they moved it into Studio's Catering Company, which was okay. A little tricky to get your drinks back and forth, but I worked it out.
Nice.
While we're walking past Studio Catering Company coming up on the prop shop, Wallow's Grotto is still back there.
And I will say this much. I come here every week, and they change merchandise every week.
So here's what I want to point out about that. It is just merchandise. And now you open a huge store that has merchandise in it called Launch Bay. It's still on the map. It's still there. There's nobody in it. If you want Star Wars stuff, I don't think it's going to last all that long.
It's the only difference between those two stores is the one at the Launch Bay is very high-end quality items.
It is. It is. So we'll wait and see what happens there. All right. Obviously, we're entering the streets of America. You know what? You could lay on the ground and do a snow angel right now. In fact, are they doing this? Where's the snow? Oh, that's so... You don't want to do that. All right, so a couple of things. When I was here for the VIP package, I was inside there. That base to the globe is a huge speaker.
Really?
If you put your hand against it, you can feel the base just vibrate against you. Because that's, of course, where I set my camera up on top of that wall. Which isn't really a wall. Go figure. It's a fake wall. But that's okay. Did you find the cat? The Halloween cat? I saw it when I was back there in the VIP section.
Over here, it's changing.
Oh, they're changing it.
Yeah.
The cat changes.
The beginning was at the studio's catering company, and then it went over down the street. Now it's back up to your right.
Over here to the right is where I saw it. So we're looking down the streets of America with the globe behind us. On the right-hand side, sort of up, is where the cat is. I did not know that it was moving.
And the one cool thing about this year that they didn't have in previous years is Disney touches. Like if we walked here a lot.
Absolutely.
You see Tinkerbell.
So take 20, because this is 20 years, are the Osborne lights. And now listen, everybody knows the Osborne lights won't be here next year.
You have an Incredibles light. You have a Jack Sparrow.
I see the Incredibles light. Let's walk down and point some things out. Because on another show we'll have all the dancing lights, but let's look. Now, did you see that? Did you find Kermit?
Yes.
Yes?
I think that's my favorite.
Kermit the Frog's awesome. So Kermit, so that you know, he doesn't light up. It's more a Kermit puppet up there.
No, there's Kermit light.
There's a Kermit puppet up here.
Yeah.
Show me the Kermit light. All right, we're going to see. There's a Kermit puppet up here.
The Kermit light beats that puppet up.
All right, all right.
There's a Nemo up here to the left.
I saw Nemo. I love Nemo because the bubbles are coming out, and the last bubble's a hidden Mickey.
Yeah.
That's cool. have no idea how this is going to sound when we go back to this.
And you got your Lady and the Tramp, Candlelight, Food Scene to your right.
Got it. Very nice. Very nice. There is a Mary Poppins penguin up here. Did you see that? It's in a window. See, this is great. Hanging out in the lights with somebody that I haven't seen before. There's a Mary Poppins penguin in the top light there. Where's Scrooge? Ah, look at the hidden Mickey in the tree. Over 80 hidden Mickeys. And everything else. Oh, I see Scrooge. Scrooge McDuck. Very good. This is awesome, John. All right, on our right is San Francisco Street. I saw the Mickey and Minnie.
Yeah.
Did you see what they were drinking out of?
No.
Frozen cups.
Nice.
One's an Anna and one's an Elsa. I don't know where you get those here, but they're frozen cups.
And how great is this? Extra magic hours.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very good. In fact, I want you to take your camera out right now and do a selfie while we're recording, because I'm using my phone to record right now. This will go in the show notes. Nice. All right, so Mickey and Minnie are down here. What else you got?
The dinosaur, baby dinosaur.
Baby dinosaur from Dinosaur. Now, that you know that show, right?
Yeah, I grew up with the show.
John grew up with the show. It was not me, but John did. That's awesome. What else you got?
You got Roger Rabbit on the bicycle. You got Stitch on the tire swing. And
got it.
You got 9 out of the 101 Dalmatians out the front door.
That's right. That's pretty cool. And that's all on San Francisco Street.
Yeah. And if you take a quick right, going back to the top of New York Street, you got Wheezy the Penguin from Toy Story.
Wheezy!
And a car. Driving a car.
Wheezy!
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wheezy's here.
Now we're back in the corner of New York Street in San Francisco, and you got the...
Look, you get that big Christmas tree, yep.
You got the Mickey, the American Mickey Mouse.
I did like that, and I took a lot of pictures of that one. This Christmas, a day in my heart. It is just amazing. It really is. And there's still quite a few people here, but not a lot. It's not packed. This, again, is extra magic hours. It's awesome. Use Guys merchandise. Did you see the pass holder t-shirt? I love it.
Yeah.
Osborne Lights, it's a wrap.
And how can you not get that the last year?
Exactly.
Did you get the glasses?
Yes, I got the glasses. So the glasses are for pass holders at Sid Coringa's.
Yep.
You can grab glasses. So you can get them anytime. I know that they only advertise at certain times.
Yep.
You can swing by anytime, show them your annual pass, they'll give you 3D glasses, and I also got them as part of the Merry and Bright package.
Nice.
They gave you those too. The fireplace on the right is still Jennings Osborne as the sign on the top with his family.
Nice.
There's a lot of history there. Let's move up a little further, because I want to talk about a display up here.
And you're coming up with the Kermit the Frog coming up.
Where's Kermit? I got to get my camera out.
And now the dancing lights are going
to
go.
Ah, we got dancing lights. Kermit's going to take...
This is up with
Oh, they're lightsabers. How cool is that? Come on, man.
Inspired by one family.
You know, Don, I love to stand under the canopy with the color-changing lights. It makes me feel...
We just passed the hotel and it's right to your right.
New York, and look all the way down to the
on the way back towards Muppet Vision.
The lights dance from there.
It's magical.
Oh man, come on!
But that's not the
best. Where is Steve Swanson when I need him? Come on, Steve. Come on, looks great. The lights are dancing. We'll listen in.
Soon as found.
worthwhile. In the meantime, enjoy the lights and some of your holiday favorites.
How'd you like to spend Christmas?
On Christmas Island. That was awesome, dude.
Yeah.
That Kermit's incredible. Wow.
You got a figment up there.
Wait, time out.
It's a figment.
Wait. There's a hidden figment?
I'm gonna butcher this name, but Clarabelle. It's over here.
Yes. I did notice Clarabelle. I'm still focused on the figment, sorry. Alright, so we got it. So we're looking at the Kermit, which is on the breezeway tour into Muppet Vision 3D. And to the left here is a new window display.
Yep.
The Osborne Electric Company, which shows the original house in Little Rock, Arkansas. It shows the lights as they appeared on Residential Street. It shows the lights as they appear now. There are facts flipping back and forth through here. So I did an early Sam's Disney Diary years ago about the history of these lights and how they're here. That's just incredible.
Yeah.
I need to get a couple pictures there. And hopefully that's going to stay here for a while, which is going to come to my next point when we're out of the music here. We're gonna move along. Move along, move along. See how I did that?
Yep.
The Osborne Spectacle of Dancing Lights. I'm reading the sign above it. We're at the end of New York Street looking back. I am taking one last picture because this is the last time that I will see these lights. Impressive.
Yeah.
Lots more audio from there we'll have on a future show.
A bit of quick news since we're doing Time Capsule.
Yes.
Pizza Planet is closing.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. I heard that. Pizza Planet is scheduled to close when? January
11th.
January 11th. So
open something October 11th or 12th.
October. So it's going to be down from January through October. All right, so we know Toy Story Land is coming to Hollywood Studios. That's been announced. It's official. Why would you have a Toy Story-themed restaurant not near Toy Story Land? So it makes absolute sense that they would do it. Now, I can only hope and speculate that it's Muppets related.
Well, Mama Melrose was supposed to be Muppets.
It was, because we're looking at Muppet Land. We're looking right now at Muppet Vision 3D. And if you guys listening have ever listened to or watched Muppet Vision 3D, at the very end, when Kermit backs in the fire truck, on the fire truck it says Muppet Land. Because this was supposed to be Muppet Land. And we have a whole show to do someday with my friend Steve Swanson to talk about Jim Henson and Disney and the relationship that they had, specifically Jim and, at the time, who was the CEO at the time?
Roy?
No. Why am I blanking? Before Bob, it was
Eisner.
Eisner and Jim Henson and what they went through and why we have what we have, which, by the way, Muppet Vision is the last thing that Jim worked on.
It has some cool Christmas decorations as well.
It does. Everything's decorated nicely. We should note that. Everything's decorated very nicely for Christmas. So we're headed around the corner here. Star Tours is on our right.
Speaking
of Star Tours, I did ride Star Tours, The Adventure Continues. What they have done, and this is new for December 2015, the first scene is the new movie.
Yes.
Without spoiling anything, because we are still prior to the launch of that movie.
Yeah.
What did you think?
I thought it was great. I like the bumpy, shaky kind of ride.
It was definitely bumpy and shaky. That's the ad-app that you hear in the background right there.
And you see some new characters from the new movie?
There are new characters from the new light, from the new movie. I'm saying lights because I'm hearing them in the background here. BB-8 makes an appearance.
Yes.
So I wrote it more than once because that's what you do. Mm-hmm. And the first scene was the same both times I rode, but the others were random. I didn't get the same thing, the others.
From what I'm told, you will have the new scene from Jakku every time as the first scene, and then the second scene will rotate.
Which I'm fine with. I that's good. You still get some randomness, but everyone wants to see that new thing, right?
Because this line gets up to 60 minutes during the afternoon. You wait 60 minutes hoping you get Jakku, and you get...
And you get... right, which you don't. You get the Jakku one every... show, which is good. And you mentioned Easter eggs. Let's talk about a couple of them. What do you mean by Easter egg? Tell me.
When Vader is approaching the ship at the very beginning, Boba Fett's with him now.
Which is different, and that's kind of cool. So I saw it twice, and I saw two different versions of that. One, Boba Fett was with him, and the other one, it was the new Stormtroopers.
Exactly. So it's
different than it used to be. So if you've ridden it before, you're going to notice a couple of things. There's another scene, too, that, and I know you know what I'm going to say, where you go underwater where Jar Jar Binks is, and you kind of hit him, and I yell, hit him, hit him, hit him. And they added some dialogue that says, woo, you almost hit him.
Yep.
Like, no, I wanted to hit him, but that's another story.
And before we move real quick,
yes.
Jedi Training Academy is new.
Yes, Jedi Training Academy, the Jedi Temple. Is that what they call it?
Trials of the Temple.
Trials of the Temple. And I did see this earlier, so maybe we'll cut to a little audio from that. And they've done a few things here. Number one, it looks like the Jedi Temple.
Yeah.
So they've completely removed the old Jedi Training Academy stage and replaced it with something new.
There's no more Endor.
There is no more Endor. It is now a Jedi Temple. You have Darth Vader, and you also have another villain, the from Seventh Rebels. Sister from Rebels.
Wow.
Impressive, most impressive. See, I got that, and I'm an old school guy, and I got that. But what I noticed was you get twice as many younglings through because one's fighting Vader while the other one's fighting the Seventh Sister.
And even Darth Maul makes an appearance.
Darth Maul makes an appearance, and it's kind of cool, and it's different, and hey, it's something for the kids to sign up for.
Exactly.
They still won't let me do it.
I tried this morning and they would not let me in.
Yeah,
And as we're walking past Backlot Express.
Backlot Express on the right.
But think to our previous episode.
Yes.
Of the Rebel Hangar, which was one of my favorite traditions of Star Wars weekends. They have brought back the chicken and waffles.
The dark side chicken and waffles.
Yes, with the Darth Vader waffle. Most amazing food ever.
So here's what I want you to think if you're listening. I want you to think the size of a Mickey waffle that you get in the resort, but it's round and it's got Darth Vader's face on it, served with chicken, fried chicken.
Yep.
Your maple syrup to go on both. Is that how you eat it, with maple syrup on both?
It's amazing.
The dark side fries. Chicken. Chewy fries?
Yeah, they have the chewy fries from the Rebel Hangar. And we know that's coming. We know the restaurant's coming.
Yes.
We just don't know when.
So there's a lot. That's why I want to do this time capsule, John, because what we're experiencing and what we're going through is not going to be here later.
Yeah.
Right? This is a point in time in Hollywood Studios history that won't be repeated. And that's having Launch Bay open with all these new things, because with, Pizza Planet's still here. That's going to be gone and replaced by something else. Launch Bay is not long term.
Well, talking about Star Wars and Seasons of the Force, it was supposed to start January 5th.
Yep.
Or even later than that, it started January 5th. Now you have the after party of the movie trailer with the fireworks. Now that's starting after the fireworks every night. You have the end date. You don't have an end date with Season of the Force anymore.
No, you don't, because they're going to take it for everything. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. Oh, is this the Goodnight Kiss?
Yes.
We're listening to the Hollywood Studios Goodnight Kiss, but we're not going to stop. But we're going to let you listen to it.
At the very end, you'll hear Get Out, John.
Actors, actresses, cast and crew, this concludes our day here at Disney's Hollywood Studios, where you are our newest star. Thank you all for playing the key role in today's production and sharing in the magic of show business. Please join us for the sequel.
Is the sequel tomorrow?
I think so.
From the mountaintop, a star is born.
nice. With a live recording of the Goodnight Kiss at Studios, which I've never heard before. I hate to admit that. You've heard it before, right?
I've heard it way too many times.
All right, as we continue leaving the park, as we're doing because we're being told to, we're walking from Star Tours past the ABC soundstage, which now is Star Wars Path of the Jedi. And I'll read this text here for you. Master the ways of the Force in this exclusive screening that follows Luke Skywalker on the journey from farm boy to Jedi Knight. Now, this is the theater that traditionally been used for previews.
Yeah.
Right, the Lone Ranger, Cinderella. I can go down the list of things that we've seen here. Star Wars Path of the Jedi. Did you see this?
Oh, I thought it was great.
So we should listen to it right now.
Exactly. You got the popcorn?
In my TIE fighter bucket, yes, I do.
For over a thousand generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic, before the Dark Times. The Force is what gives the Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us, penetrates us, it binds the galaxy together. Wanted you to have this when you were old enough.
What is it?
It's your father's lightsaber. The weapon of a Jedi Knight. I was once a Jedi Knight. Same as your father.
This is where the fun begins. We got him.
General Kenobi, I have placed information vital to the survival of the rebellion into this R2 unit. You're my only hope.
I need your help, Luke. She needs your help.
I want to come with you. I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father.
Han Solo, Captain of the Millennium Falcon. You guys got yourselves a ship.
Oh my, I've forgotten how much I hate space travel.
To learn this power. complete your training. You've only begun to discover your power. Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father.
He told me you killed him.
No, I am your father.
Your father was seduced by the dark side of the Force and became Darth Vader.
Stories about what happened.
All right, so Path of the Jedi, what did you think?
I thought it was great. It was...
So it's a lot different than what's over at the launch bay.
Oh, it's totally different.
Because this is a... If you never watched Star Wars, this will give you the history of the Jedi from episode 1 through 6 in chronological order, tell you everything that's happening, and then set you up for episode 7.
It's amazing. I won't give it away, but it's amazing how they connect 6 and 7.
Yes, I saw the connection. You might have heard the connection in what we just played, but it's pretty cool when they go to The Force Awakens. And so I was disappointed because the movie's not out yet. It's out in a few weeks, and there was nothing that we didn't see already.
Yeah.
But that's
okay.
I've
seen every trailer on YouTube. I've seen everything. I know Ed's totally different.
So if you're like Ed and haven't seen it, this would spoil it for you, but he'll be down after the movie's out, and he'll be like, oh, yeah, give us something else. Give us something
else. But going to the launch bay... You really don't have anything ruined for you.
No, not at all. A lot of launch break. I mean, the Star Wars Celebration Gallery is all about the movies that are out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're looking at a model of the Millennium Falcon that is just awesome, and that's not new. And in fact, one of the things I'll point out, and I will absolutely give Ed credit for this, about 7, 8, 9 years ago, LucasArts did a touring exhibit to local science centers. Mm-hmm. Of Star Wars, and I think a lot of those props are from that. Notice the background music stopped on us?
Yeah.
Get out. No more background music. I don't know if we pull that rope right there, if the guy would yell. We're going to give it a try, because that's right where we are. By the warning, do not pull the rope. Let's see if we get anything. Oh, he's still down there. That is right in front of Indiana Jones. That's probably the clearest I've heard that because nobody else is here.
Yeah, all right. No background music.
Here's the one thing that I wanted to talk about. I want to talk about the Osborne lights for a second. Mm-hmm. Because this is the last year for the Osborne lights. Disney's made that clear and we know that. I want to go out on a limb here. And I'm going to double or nothing on our bet. So John and I have a running bet. I'm going to bring it up now. I bet him that Star Wars Weekends 2015 was the last Star Wars Weekends. He said, no way, I'm absolutely wrong. But turns out I was right. But what we didn't know was Seasons of the Force would replace it. So he owes me a drink of my choice, which we figured out what it would be. And it would probably come from right here, the tune-in lounge at the 50s primetime. But anyway, I'll go double or nothing if you want to take the bet.
All right.
I believe that the lights will indeed be back, but they will not be called the Osborne lights. There's going to be something else happen, because you have to think about it. The VIP packages that they're selling, the revenue stream that Disney has coming from the lights, it's not going to change. And if you look at where we are in studios history, Star Wars Land's going to be built in space that's sort of behind where we're standing, right? Which is behind Indiana Jones. Mm-hmm. Toy Story Land is going to be built behind Toy Story Mania in backlot areas, right? So the Streets of America isn't going to be touched for 2016, maybe 2017. So my prediction is the Christmas lights will be back, which is why the Merry and Bright lights package that I participated in did not have the name Osborne in it. It was the Merry and Bright dessert package. So I believe that the lights will be back without the Osborne name. What do you think? Will you go double on that?
I'll go double on that.
All right, there's our bet right there. I'm either getting two drinks or none. And we have to wait a year to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I do believe that, and there's more history behind that that I plan to write a blog about. But the Disney's relationship with Osborne's is ending. There's also a show on ABC, which I've heard some commentary from historians who have said that ABC's Battle of the Christmas Lights may get tied in next year. So the winner of Battle of the Christmas Lights might be designing lights for Hollywood Studios next year.
Yeah.
So we still get the lights, but just in a different format. But don't tell anybody, because we want to sell as many It's a Wrap t-shirts as we can between now and then.
And if it is the last year, which could totally be right or wrong.
Well, it's the last year of the Osborne lights. Yeah. We know that. Yes.
But there's no lights next year, for whatever reason.
Okay.
Kudos to Disney for telling everybody this is the last year. Because the hyperspace hoopla, bringing it back to Star Wars, they never said this was the last year.
It was just
year.
Gone. Well, Star Wars Weekends. Yeah. Up until recently, Star Wars Weekends 2016 was out there. If you went to starwarsweekends.com, it took you to the site that said, stay tuned for dates for 2016. Maybe the ultimate Long Islanders. We're looking at the drink menu for the tune-in right now. Dad's Electric Lemonade, the Magical Star Cocktail, the Ultimate Long Island, and the Patron Platinum Margarita. The Ultimate Long Island Iced Tea right now is listed at $10.25. I bet you it's $11 next year.
Yeah. I got those necklaces of the dancing lights. Last year was $8. This year's $15. Because they sold them out. But here's my prediction since you did your lights.
All right, I want yours. Wars. Okay.
Seasons of the Force is 365 days a year. There's no end date. You're going to have fireworks every night of Star Wars. We're getting Star Wars fireworks on Christmas night.
Halloween. Say that one more time.
After the 18th of December when the movie hits.
Okay.
Every night we'll have the fireworks of Star Wars here.
All right. I didn't put that together, but I know that it's starting the 18th forward. So, yeah. Chris, New Year's Eve, Star Wars fireworks here?
Mm-hmm.
Unless they announce something else, but that's kind of crazy.
I've heard Lobot and Orlando Carizian is going to make an appearance on the stage on New Year's Eve.
Orlando's here.
Yeah.
Nice. Last time I saw him was Star Wars Weekends 2014.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
What else? I think there's one other thing happening, too, because I was wondering this earlier today walking through the park, which is the Premier Theater. Looks empty, deserted, nobody's been back there. Anything going on there?
Not so fast. The Comedy Warehouse is coming back this year, which is great. The park has been such in a drought of entertainment for the last 4 months. Mulch went away. There was no dance parties.
Speaking of dance party, we have now a dance party every day for Christmas, the Christmas dance party, in front of that stage, that new thing we talked about, from 5 till park close.
And Citizens of the Hollywood was hanging by a thread. Now we have all this back. We have the Comedy Warehouse, which is a great show. And you got Star Wars. I mean, that's what people want, and that's what they're getting.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So the Comedy Warehouse harkens back to the Adventurers Club.
Right.
It's very similar to that. That's in the Premier Theater. Is that a hard ticket event?
No. It's every day, 5 times a week.
Nice.
5 times a day.
So. Nice, because when that first came out, it was a hard ticket, if I remember it. You can hear the fountain behind us. Mm-hmm. That is Echo Lake. And I don't hear anything else, John.
Yeah.
I'm guessing I missed my
bus. When you
bus.
Camp out for Star Wars weekends, which you'll never do again, this is what you hear.
You're going to camp out for something. Come on.
Until the last weekend, and then you hear the rehearsal for the Frozen Parade. All night. It's great.
So I didn't officially take the bet, but I want to officially take the bet because I believe that Star Wars will somehow give way to a Frozen Summer.
I don't think so.
I think it will. Frozen 2 is coming out. They're going to go from sequel to sequel. I mean, once you have episode 7, which gives you enough time to then go into Frozen Summer and then come back with Rogue One.
Yeah. That could be right.
That's the way I'm looking at it. Hey, the stoplights are still working. Oh, there's background music on Hollywood Boulevard.
Yep.
How about that?
All the stores are closed.
All the stores appear to be closed. Yes, they do. Oh, you know why this is? Phantasmic just let up. Recently. The Phantasmic was 10:30, I think. Is that the last 10 o'clock, 10:30?
Around.
Which, by the way, if you're ever going to do Phantasmic, do the second show if you can.
Same with Osborne Lights. Let's go the Extra Magic Hour night.
If you're staying here, absolutely great advice. Go Extra Magic. You know, you can be there when they flip the switch and everything turns on and get that ooh-ah effect, which is kind of cool, but it is so cool. You can't walk on the streets back there. Which is why I think if they do this differently, they'll address that issue that they have. What other words of wisdom do you have for us, John?
Enjoy the studios because it's always changing. I think it's on stable ground from the end of Frozen summer event to now. It's very, very shaky. It was Toy Story, Wreck-It Roller Coaster, Tower, and then you're done.
Yeah. I cannot wait to hear an announcement about what's coming in to where Pizza Planet used to be, because I think that will give us a lot of insight. I mean, is that area going to be taken over by Star Wars, or is that area going to be revitalized as Muppets something?
Yeah.
That's a great question we have. It will give us a little insight into what happens. And, you know, I love the new stage. I think it's awesome. Yep. Launch Bay's awesome, but let's be honest, Launch Bay's temporary. When Star Wars Land opens, that's going to go away, so who knows what that'll become.
But great for them putting that time and effort into the launch.
Absolutely. I completely agree.
And I think the best part, what I take away from this whole experience, is that Kathleen Kennedy from Lucasfilm, not Disney, not Bob Iger, not an Imagineer, said it's going to be a very immersive theme.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. All right, and with that, I'm running into Mickey's of Hollywood before they close the door.
I'm going to go wait for Frozen tomorrow, so.
Thank you so much for joining us on our trip around Walt Disney World's Hollywood Studios Christmas 2015. Remember, if you like this type of episode, go back and check out our walkthrough during Star Wars weekends and during Frozen Summer 2015, both time capsules in the history of Hollywood Studios. Thank you so much for listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast. Make sure you check us out online, thedisneynerdspodcast.com. If you have any questions, drop us a line, questions@thedisneynerds.com. You can also reach me, Sam, @thedisneynerds.com. You can reach Jen, Jimmy, and Ed the same way. Thank you so much for listening, and Kongaloosh.
Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your